Welcome to the Art of Med School bonus episode. We're going to call this bonus episode part two, peptic ulcer disease. Hey, this is Micah, working on peptic ulcers with you. Check out the first part of this podcast or of this bonus episode where we go over what peptic ulcers are and treatments and that kind of thing. This portion of the episode, we're going to be talking about we're going to go through some multiple choice questions. These are pulled from like step one banks. I think I looked at some NCLEX here. So it should kind of catch a little bit of everybody, but we're just going to go through and talk through some of these answers and why they make sense. Okay. So first one, 41-year-old male who takes NSAIDs regularly for its chronic back pain develops severe abdominal pain that worsens with eating. Upper endoscopy is performed, and the medical student asks the supervising physician how the histological differentiation between a gastric ulcer and erosion is made. Tripped up on that one, too. Let me repeat that one. Upper endoscopy is performed, and the medical student asks the supervising physician how the histological differentiation between a gastric ulcer and erosion is made. Which of the following layers of the gastric mucosa must be breached for a lesion to be considered an ulcer? Now, we've never really talked about going through questions. Maybe we'll do that for an episode sometime. The big thing is basically everything that happened before that last sentence doesn't really matter. The big question here is which of the following layers of the gastric mucosa must be breached for a lesion to be considered an ulcer. Okay? So, if you remember, our layers, we have epithelium, lamina propria, muscularis mucosa, submucosa, and adventitia. So our options are epithelium alone, epithelium, lamina propria. So, those two. And basically, we're just adding one each answer here. Epithelium, lamina propria, muscularis mucosa. Epithelium, lamina propria, muscularis mucosa, and submucosa. And last but not least, epithelium, lamina propria, muscularis mucosa, submucosa, and adventitia. I could do that, but I couldn't hardly say differentiation or endoscopy. All right, so which of these is it? Now, think back to that first episode, and what makes a peptic ulcer? I'm pausing for dramatic effect. Well, we had talked about how the definition of an ulcer is based on what layer that it has to breach. And if you remember, it has to go all the way down to the submucosa or deeper. So the answer is going to be the fourth option here, D, epithelium, lamina propria, muscularis mucosa, and submucosa. A, B, and C all ended before that submucosa, so it's just a lesion or erosion and not an ulcer. The fifth option, epithelium, lamina propria, muscularis mucosa, submucosa, and adventitia, also true, also an ulcer, but we've added more in there than we actually have to have. So it's important to remember that an ulcer has to go all the way down to the submucosa or deeper. All right, next. 52-year-old Caucasian male presents to your office complaining of black tarry stool. What is that indicative of? GI bleeding, yeah? And probably upper. Which of the following possible causes of this patient's presentation is least associated with the development of carcinoma? Okay. Barrett's esophagus, H. pylori infection, adenomatous polyp, gastric ulcer, or duodenal ulcer. Now, again, this whole 52-year-old Caucasian male, blah, 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 none of that matters. All it's asking is which of these is least likely to develop carcinoma? You had a little bit of an advantage here because obviously it's going to be either of the ulcers. Just let's be real. It could be H. pylori infection, but we know we're talking about peptic ulcer disease, so it's going to be at least one of those three. Do you remember learning about the difference between gastric and duodenal ulcers? One of those two was likely to turn malignant, and it was gastric ulcer. Duodenal ulcers have a very, very low risk of turning into carcinoma. So the answer is E, duodenal ulcer. The rest of them have a, you know, kind of a pretty decent chance. But duodenal ulcers just don't really do it. Why? Don't know. H. pylori infection, that one we could kind of knock off to remember. Because while all duodenal ulcers, I shouldn't say all, the majority of duodenal ulcers are caused by H. pylori, the majority of H. pylori infections happen in gastric ulcers. Okay, number three, a 34-year-old Nigerian-born female presents with burning in her epigastric region. Ultimately, EGD, man, I've been screwing up words, so I'm going to try this one. Esophagoduodenoscopy. Yeah, I said that right. Esophagoduodenoscopy demonstrates an ulcer in the proximal duodenum. What does that mean? That means that we put a camera down into the esophagus, all the way down into the duodenum, and in the first part we saw an ulcer. Don't overcomplicate it, right? Which of the following treatments would best address the cause of her ulcer? Antibiotics, cessation of NSAID use, surgical resection, cimetidine, omeprazole. Getting paused for dramatic effect. Okay, which, because I kind of covered this on the last question, which place, what is the most common, okay, back that up. Which, what is the most common cause of duodenal ulcers? H. pylori, right? So, if H. pylori, which is a bacteria, is the most common cause of duodenal ulcers, the answer's got to be antibiotics, right? Like, yeah, maybe she's got a history of NSAID use, or maybe she needs surgical resection. All those things could be true. Cimetidine, yeah, maybe, which is an H2 antagonist, a receptor antagonist. Maybe all these are could help. But we know that 80 to 90% of duodenal ulcers are caused by H. pylori. So antibiotics is the answer. Next, we'll do one more. A 68-year-old man presents to the emergency department with coffee ground emesis, abdominal pain, weakness, and nausea. He states that he has had three episodes of coffee ground emesis over the past 2 hours. After appropriate resuscitation, an upper endoscopy is performed, which reveals a deep ulcer along the lesser curvature of the stomach, which is the most common place for stomach ulcers to happen. There appears to be a visible vessel in the center of the ulcer. The remainder of the endoscopic examination is normal. What is the next best step in this patient's management? All right, so let's clarify this a little bit because there's a lot of crap in there. But the point is that you're in the middle of doing the endoscopy. I don't know why I'm slaughtering words both this episode and last episode. Okay, so you're in the middle of doing that, and you see an ulcer, a deep ulcer no less, along the lesser curvature of the stomach. How deep is that ulcer? She has coffee ground emesis. That means she's bleeding. So we have an ulcer that's actually deep enough to cause bleeding. In fact, the next line says there appears to be a visible vessel in the center of the ulcer. We're looking at it. What are we going to do? Begin IV octreotide? Do some kind of endoscopic therapy? Insert an NG tube? Observe, do nothing by mouth status, and fill her with proton pump inhibitors, or call for a surgical consultation. Okay, let's go through these. Begin IV octreotide. All right, maybe. Endoscopic therapy. Let's come back to that. Insert an NG tube. Well, that would help us, you know, siphon everything out. Observe nothing by mouth status and IV proton pump inhibitors. Okay, that's going to bring down the the acid, but does pain in a stomach ulcer get less or more with a gastric ulcer? Remember, gastric ulcer, greater pain. So, not eating was actually gonna hurt, not help. And then surgical consultation. What the hell are we waiting around for? It's endoscopic therapy. You're in there looking at it. We already talked about how, well, we talked about in the last episode, I guess, which hopefully you listened to. We talked about how you can do mechanical interventions, like putting a clip on there, thermal therapy, like doing an electrocautery, or inject with some epinephrine. All these are successful for treating cases like this. So, you're in there. Let's just take care of it. Endoscopic therapy. All right, so that's four questions. I do want to just add a real quick side note. Remember that, because we kind of talked about this before, but it also came up in some other questions. Don't mix up that H. pylori is the most common cause of duodenal ulcers. However, most H. pylori caused ulcers happen in the stomach. Again, really, really easy to mix around, but it's something that I've seen come up over and over in questions, is trying to trip you up on that. That's it for this episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. That's the second part of the two-part episode. If this one didn't make sense to you, just go back and listen to the first one. I think it'll clear it all up. Thank you very much for listening. We'll check you later.
Our theme music, Urbana Metronica Wuyan Mix by Spinning Mercada, is copyright 2011, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. This show is not affiliated or endorsed in any way with St. James School of Medicine. He just goes there. The Art of Med School podcast is part of the Art of Med School Network. For more information, find us on the web at artofmedschool.com.